Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Thursday, May 27th. Washington Post columnist and MSNBC host Jonathan Capehart is our guest today, and we're going to get right to him. He hosts the Sunday morning 10 a.m. to noon slot called The Sunday Show on MSNBC. In addition to writing his column, Jonathan is a New Yorker and was on the Daily News editorial board, as some of you know, before going to the Washington Post. Locally, Jonathan's latest column takes the position that the organizers of next month's Pride March in the city should allow LGBT police officers to march as a group. The organizers are saying no as of now, as we welcome Washington Post columnist, podcaster, and host on MSNBC Sunday mornings back to WNYC. Hey, Jonathan, welcome back.
Thanks a lot, Brian. Great to be here.
Want to let people know, if they haven't gotten engaged in this issue yet, exactly what the issue is with the Pride March and then why you're coming down where you are?
So Heritage of Pride, which is the organization that organizes the annual epic Pride March on the last Sunday in New York, announced, I guess, a couple weeks ago that a bunch of changes to the participation of police in the parade. On one hand, it's, you know, limiting access of police officers, those who are on duty ostensibly to provide security for the parade, keeping them, you know, a block or so away from the actual festivities. The other thing that they did, and this is the decision that I wrote about, they bar LGBTQ police officers from marching under their own banner. The Gay Officers Police Organization, barring those officers from marching in the parade in uniform. My column, the headline is pretty clear: let LGBTQ cops march in New York City's Pride Parade. The decision by Heritage of Pride, the basis of it, I understand the upset. There's a lot of anger within, the magnolia trees are actually blooming here in Washington, and I discovered that I'm allergic. So I apologize for the frog in my throat. No, I'm fine. The basis for the decision by Heritage of Pride is understandable anger within the LGBTQ community, and particularly Black and Brown LGBTQ community, anger at the police for many things that the NYPD, the police department, has done to the community, from going after trans New Yorkers for quote unquote walking while trans, there was a police killing of a known trans activist in New York, I believe it was in 2019, that hasn't been resolved to the community's satisfaction. I believe the police officers were not disciplined. Then, and most importantly for a lot of folks in the community, from what I understand, last June in Lower Manhattan, there was the Queer Liberation March for Black Lives and Against Police Brutality, a peaceful march where marchers in the end ended up being pepper sprayed by police, by the NYPD. There's been long-standing, long-brewing anger at the NYPD within the community. And I understand that. I note that in my column. But in the end, I come down and say, but why take out that anger on LGBTQ cops? And really, Brian, it is not lost on me that the Stonewall riot was the result of the community pushing back against harassment and bullying and worse by police officers that led to the first punches being thrown by the community standing up in its own defense.
And of course, that's why the Pride March takes place when it does in late June. That was the time in 1969 of that police raid on the Stonewall.
Right, right. And since then, that is the spark of the modern LGBT civil rights movement. As part of that movement was trying to get the country, get Americans, get our family members, most importantly, and neighbors and friends to recognize that we are here, that, you know, pushing out and trying to be seen and ending the invisibility. When the AIDS epidemic hit the community, remember, the ACT UP mantra was silence equals death. Mm-hmm. It was encouraging people to come out of the closet, to tell our stories, to make it clear that not only are we're here, we're queer, get used to it, but to also recognize that, not to sound trite, but we are everywhere, showing people that we are in every facet of American life and destigmatizing being out loud and proud. And one of the ways of doing that, having LGBTQ police officers marching in that parade in their uniform is a signal to the country, is a signal to the community, is a signal to the city, and overall a signal to the country that being gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, questioning is not something to hide from. It is not something to be ashamed of. It is something to celebrate. And when I went to my first Pride parade, good Lord, now probably the first time in New York was in 1991. So we're talking years ago. It was thrilling to see those police officers march, also because gay men and lesbians were not allowed to serve openly in the military. You could have gotten kicked out of the military if you were found out to be gay or lesbian, let alone transgender. And so to see, again, law enforcement officers marching in uniform under a banner that says to everyone, we are gay police officers, 30 years ago was thrilling. And so, you know, I think to deny those police officers the opportunity to be proud of who they are and to do so in uniform, I think it's a sad decision. I should point out that here in Washington, I think the circumstances were a little different, but in Washington, the LGBTQ police officers here have not been allowed to march in the Pride Parade here, which is usually around the first week in June. They haven't been allowed to march since 2018.
So I guess for relevance to this issue, we should say that you've been out for a long time. This is not news just for, you know, standing in this issue. You've been out as a proud gay man for many years. You've talked about your relationship with your husband and lots of other stuff. And Jonathan's latest Washington Post opinion piece is called Let LGBTQ Cops March in New York City's Pride Parade. Is this reminiscent to you, or would it be sort of a false comparison? But I know it reminds people, at least on the top surface, of LGBT Irish people not being allowed to march as a group with a banner at the St. Patrick's Day parade for many years because parade organizers saw themselves as upholding Catholic Church doctrine. Now, it's certainly not equivalent because it's not like the organizers of the St. Patrick's Day parade had any grievance or any form of legitimate grievance, certainly, with people just for being LGBT Irish. You just went down a list of legitimate grievances that the LGBT community has with the NYPD as an institution. But does it remind you of that? Is there a conversation around that comparison that's going to pop up in a lot of people's minds to have in any way?
I mean, it might pop up, but there aren't really, they're not equivalent. The one thing that connects them, though, is the issue of acceptance or the issue of exclusion. And, you know, if you've been to a pride parade, you know that the pride parade is all about the celebration of acceptance and inclusion. And I think that's what makes what's happening with the police officers being able to march under their own banner, the out police officers, that's what makes this so sort of dissonant for a lot of people. How could this community that is all about acceptance and inclusion suddenly be excluding people, not for who they are, but for what they do? And a lot of people, Brian, I'm looking forward to the phone calls that are going to come in. I mean, there are people in New York particularly Black and Brown New York, queer New York, very angry with me about this piece. And again, I get where they're coming from, and I understand the anger, but the anger at the NYPD, unless someone can point to me police officers who stand accused of abusing the community are themselves LGBTQ, I have a hard time with the incredible broad brush that those officers are being painted with.
Right. You don't think it's the LGBTQ cops who are committing bad acts against LGBTQ civilians. Is that what you were just saying?
Yes.
You know what? Our lines did explode as soon as I put out the call. So let's take a caller. Leon in West Farms 10460 in the Bronx. Leon, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Oh my God, Brian, first time, long time. I've been waiting a long time to say that.
So glad you
I would just like to say, Jonathan, we're not coming after these queer cops. You know, I think pride is for all queer people. And if you're a police officer, maybe you can come to the march, but just don't wear your police uniform. I can share an experience from a couple of years ago where, you know, the city during Pride is kind of in gridlock. And I tried to get directions to get from one part of the city to another. And, you know, I spoke to a cop and I'm just like, you know why this march is happening? It's because of the way that police officers have treated queer people. And this police officer placed his hand on his gun, took an aggressive stance towards me and said, "Are you threatening me?" This is an NYPD sergeant based on, you know, his badge and whatever he's wearing. So I'm just saying, you know, we don't want police there, especially because of what happened last year, which you brought up.
What do you think about Jonathan's last argument before you got on? I don't know if you could hear it while we were getting you up on hold, but he was saying unless it's the LGBTQ cops as individuals, which he doesn't think is likely the case, who you can identify or who can be identified as abusing LGBTQ civilians, then this group should be allowed to march.
Sure, they should march as LGBT people, not police officers. The police as an institution is just literally has caused this march to occur. It's a protest against them in a way. So I don't think they should show up as cops, show up as themselves.
Leon, thank you so much. Don't make it a last time. Now that you've made it a first time, let's go on to JW in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello, JW. Thank you for calling in.
Hi. Actually, my first name is just Jay. I'm actually one of the organizers of the annual Queer Liberation March, and that was attacked at the end of that was attacked last year. And the Queer Liberation March was actually founded with the tenet of getting cops out of Pride. So that's something that needs to be kept in anytime someone mentions the cops attacking us. Because last year's Queer Liberation March was the Queer Liberation March for Black Lives and against police brutality, and that march was then attacked by the police. The other thing that folks need to understand is that the NYPD has been attacking queer and trans-led protests for the last year, since the beginning of the reckoning after George Floyd's murder. 3 weeks before the Queer Liberation March, a queer and trans-led protest, a black and brown queer and trans-led protest, was attacked by the NYPD, a completely nonviolent protest, a noted ACT UP and Queer Liberation March volunteer and organizer, Jason Rosenberg, had his arm broken. Marty Gould Cummings, who was a candidate for city council, was given a concussion. Both were held in cells without receiving any medical care for hours. In the ensuing year since last year's Queer Liberation March, the NYPD has attacked the weekly Stonewall protests multiple times, at least 7 or 8, if not more times. The other point is that throughout all of this, and through the decades of attacks and persecution of black and brown trans women, GOAL, as an organization, the Gay Officers Action League, has been silent. They have never once spoken up for our communities and our community members who have been attacked.
That's that group of gay officers that would march under that banner. Jonathan, you want to engage with Jay? What would you say to some of the points that he's been making?
I mean, there's no argument that I have with Jay in what he's recounting, and he's giving even more detail to the little bit that I gave in my comments earlier, and certainly more detailed than I was able to put in my column that ran on Monday. Like I said, the anger at the NYPD by the LGBTQ community, and specifically black and brown queer New York, is, as Jay just outlined, is understandable. It is raw. His specific knock at GOAL in terms of being silent on attacks against black and brown trans New Yorkers is a very serious charge, and I would be interested to hear what GOAL has to say in response to that. That gets closer to, to my mind, if the community has a problem with LGBTQ officers and their silence or inaction on issues facing the community, that is a conversation mm-hmm. that I'm eager to listen to. But the broad brush conversation that, and I understand, to go back to what Leon was talking about, mm-hmm. As a New Yorker going to a police officer and, talking to them and asking questions, and to have the police officer put his hand on his gun and step forward to him and to say, which would send a chill down my spine, "Are you threatening me?" To have those words come from a police officer is very distressing, would be very troubling. And so there are issues that the community and the NYPD need to work out. The idea of the police officers marching but not in uniform, I've heard this as, to my mind, I take it in as a compromise. I wonder if that is something that would even be entertained by GOAL, but I do think that there must be a way for LGBTQ cops who are proud of who they are and are proud of overall the profession that they're in. There has to be a way for them to be able to celebrate pride in full.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jay, thank you for your call.
Thanks, Jay.
We're going to go on to another call. Jason in the East Village, you're on WNYC. Jason, thank you for calling in.
Oh, thank you. Hello.
Hey there.
I was going to say it's almost pointless to put me on the air. I just wanted to iterate that I agree exactly with your guess. I think it's kind of ironic, very ironic, actually, for the parade this year to be not inclusive and to be painting, as the guest said, a broad brush over a very large community. I have to say I'm not particularly a fan of the institution of policing as it's as it's gone down over the years. But I think keeping them out exacerbates the problem. It hardens divisions. It creates more of an us versus them situation rather than trying to understand somebody else's perspective and individual history.
Jason, thank you very much. One more, Sherry in Edison. You're on WNYC. Hi, Sherry. Thank you for calling in.
Hi, folks. I'm having my very own driveway moment, as you mentioned during the fun drive. But I wanted to address a question to the point that not everyone has the same relationship with police. And Pride, I'm a long-term activist. I've been an activist since there was only gay in the lexicon, and now we've got a host of representation. And toward that end, we want our trans brothers and sisters, and especially our trans brothers and sisters of color, to feel comfortable. And for those who are not doing work within that community, there are a lot of people who feel, you'll pardon the expression, triggered by the uniform, by the visibility of the weapons. And when you have, it's certainly important for LGBTQIA plus officers, queer officers, to feel comfortable, but we want everyone to be active in Pride. I help organize Pride in New Jersey, and I do work with InterPride, which is the international organization mm-hmm. of people who put on these events. And one of the things I'm concerned about is there's a rush to judgment when people read headlines rather than understanding the year of discussions that have gone on behind the headlines with different groups. As we're trying to be more inclusive, as the past year has shown us, a lot of us, I am a white person, and for those of us who have learned how complicit we were in a system of which we had been ignorant, once those scales fall from your eyes, you can't unsee things, and that commitment to make the world better for everyone is renewed even stronger. So, Jonathan, journalists like yourself, if you can use your voice to dig deeper. Andrew Sullivan also had a very opinionated piece that when you come from a perspective where you have so many positive relationships with police officers, and for those of us who have relationships that go back 30 years with the police in our communities with whom we work closely to produce our events, it really is hurtful on both sides. Passions run high, and the truth is somewhere in the middle, and we need to dig down to that deeper truth so that we can have a better world. Thank you for the time.
Sure. I appreciate what Sherry said. I mean, this is radio, not television, and for those who don't know, yes, I am an out gay married man, but I'm also African-American. So I come to this table with all of my identities at the fore. Again, I am trying to be more nuanced in my view of this and not just viewing just a headline and then popping off. And even in Sherry's comments, it stands out to me that there are two issues at play here. It is police presence at the parade in the way that Leon talked about the first caller, where mm-hmm. he went up to a police officer trying to, you know, get around the parade. That's one issue. The second, and what Sherry rightly says, that is triggering for many Black and brown LGBTQ folks in New York. That I understand. The other issue is the more discreet issue, and that which I wrote about, and that is allowing LGBTQ police officers march in the parade in uniform. And so in terms of digging deeper, that is the issue that I am trying to deal with, or I was dealing with in my column.
And we leave it there today, unresolved 1 year and 2 days after the murder of George Floyd. We thank Jonathan Capehart, Washington Post columnist, host of his podcast there called Cape Up, and he hosts the Sunday morning 10 a.m. to noon slot called The Sunday Show on MSNBC. That's 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time. Jonathan, thanks as always.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer, a daily politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.